Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Gina R. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 4th, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are at page 83, paragraph 1. Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Christine M., 12 Traditions, Reggie O., and our readers will be Penny L.C., Stephanie L. The reference numbers for Tuesday, July 3rd, is 11,613, that is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, and then today, Wednesday, July 4th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,619. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is, that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Christine M. to read the 12 steps.
Yes, good morning, everyone. My name is Christine M., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. So grateful to be on the line with everyone this morning. And the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admit we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for the opportunity to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Christine M. I will now ask Reggie O. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Gina. Good morning. This is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reggie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 83, paragraph 1. Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. I will ask Penny Elsie to begin reading.
Thank you, Gina. Good morning to you and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny Elsie, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. So going back to the first statement in that paragraph, reconstruction, you know, it's defined as being rebuilt after being damaged or destroyed. And oh boy, had I done some damage and some destruction, you know, there was no doubt. And I'm grateful that I could come far enough along in my recovery to get to this point and know that, you know, I could go forward and make my amends and live my amends. But I had to be forthcoming, you know, with it all. And that's the beautiful part of the work we do, is seeing our side of it. You know, I had to see where I was selfish and self-centered. I had to see where I was prideful, so that when I was willing to make my amends, I didn't have to feel like I needed to point any fingers. I needed to only be accountable for my part. And all the while, praying for God's will for me in every step I took and every word I said. Because what is that reconstruction, that reforming, you know, that reformation, that change, it's changing. And I need to also go forward with that living amends and act out that change every day. And so as it says, then I get to ask God to please show me each day, each moment, how to be kind and patient and tolerant and loving.
to all of those in my path. It's a piece by piece transformation that I get to make each day by God's grace. And I am so grateful to be able to then turn around and live in dignity and grace. And on another note, I will say thank you, God, today for my freedom. This is a day to celebrate freedom, and I'm so grateful to be free from the devastation of this disease one moment at a time. And thank you all for being there to support. And Gina, thank you for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. All right. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Jen A.
Jen A.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Heidi G.
Heidi
Kat
G.
Kat K.
Anyone else in this first lineup? Okay, let's go with this. We've got five. We've got Jen A, Roz G, Kathleen O, Heidi G, and Kat K. Please go ahead, Jen.
Good morning, Gina. Thank you so much for your service. This is Jen A, recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic from Littleton, Colorado. And I just have to remember, you know, like a tornado, I've just spun through the lives of everybody, and I've created this huge mess. And what does it take to clean that up? Well, if I look at a natural disaster, you know, here in the United States, it takes a long time, and it takes a lot of tedious work and caring for others. You know, and just loving and tolerating people, helping people through the wreckage of the storm. Well, you know, for me, just saying I'm sorry was the first step that wasn't enough. And hear me say this, because sorry for me ends in why. And why did I do the things that I did? And, you know, I've just looked at that in my inventory. And now I know why I did it and what am I not going to do going forward. And I'm going to continue every single day to look to God and to ask God how I can continue to be loving and tolerant and patient and kind to those around who I wreck their lives. But the one thing that I have to remember and that I get from this paragraph is that even when a tornado rolls through, which is what I was in my life, there are some things in that tornado that are completely gone and ruined. One of those things was my marriage, and I was responsible for that. And I will never get that marriage back. My kids will never have their mom and dad together again, because everybody's moved on. My ex-husband has moved on, and I have a beautiful bonus mom who loves my kids and cares for them. And so there's goodness that's come from that storm, but that's something that I'll never get back. And I just have to be okay with that. So I have to remember, take God with me every single day. My Creator is going to show me the way. It says right here. And just ask Him how I should be. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jen A. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Roz.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for your service. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California, Northern Los Angeles, I should say. Well, when I see the word reconstruction, I think about history. And in the history books, the period of reconstruction follows the freeing of the slaves and, going through a time of giving immigrants and, I should say slavery, people that were slaves, a time to readjust and become a part of society. And, of course, that's a long story. But what I'm seeing there is that, you know, under construction, I go to places and I see signs that say, please excuse our mess. And as the previous sharer said, she made a big mess. And, of course, I did, too. And cleaning up, living with the family, living the program, being an example of the program is very easy with you and in meetings and at the grocery store, because I can be nice and and encouraging, but you know, my family sees the real me. But you know, I got to say, over these past few years, through this step work daily, and through asking God to guide my steps every day, for me to surrender to His will every day, and to look at myself and to do those resentments and to look at where I was selfish and self-centered, it's made me into a different person, and my house is fairly peaceful. We have our issues, but what's really cool is that you know, I've been hearing the term living amends this morning. Some people don't, you know, say it's in the big book or whatever. I don't think anything's wrong with saying living amends. We're just trying to change our ways and not do what we did before. And a big living amends that I'm making is to my ex-husband. I kicked him out for good reasons. In, you know, 15 years ago, he's very, very ill as a result of overeating and drinking and drugging. He's just very, very, very ill. He can't walk. He's having to, you know, do dialysis 3 days a week. His blood pressure is terrible. His feet are, he can't walk. Anyway, the amends is that he's staying with us for a temporary time. I've opened up the house to him. The kids are taking excellent care of him, feeding him correctly, giving him his medication, taking him to dialysis and to the doctor. And we have not spoken any harsh words to one another. I hope that continues, but I'm being kind to him. I'm treating him with true godly love and tolerance. And so far it's been just an act of an opposite person, a woman that used to rage and be critical and impatient is now a person, and I'm talking of myself, that is practicing kindness, patience, and tolerance and love, exactly what this book is saying. And I just give the credit to God for changing.
Fine.
Continuing. Thank you for continuing to change me. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Kathleen O., you're up next, followed by Heidi G. Please go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in California. I absolutely love this paragraph. It literally changes my life every day. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. And, you know, recovery is the most difficult to work around those we love the most. And family members are the people that I love the most. And my husband is my biggest challenge. And, you know, I do every morning. It is one of the things I am relentless about, of, you know, just asking every morning in meditation that I be shown the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. Because if I'm doing that, I'm not going to get into the second part of that sentence. Chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. Because it's very tempting, you know, when I get triggered, and my husband's really good at triggering me and saying things that I don't want him to say. I want him to say them differently. And it's real easy for me to go on the defense and react. And all that does is cause problems. And, you know, I've heard mentioned on this line by several different people, you know, the GPS, the global positioning system, but we call it the God positioning system. And I actually picture that and think of it when I'm using my GPS in the car, and sometimes I make a wrong turn and I'll look at it, it'll say it's recalculating, or it'll tell me to make a U-turn. And I think of that with my God positioning system. It's like this morning my husband said something and I just really wanted to like react. And I just thought, okay, make a U-turn, reposition. And I just kept my mouth shut. It's like, you know, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it because, I never win with him, and all I do is get really frustrated, and then I'm doing my part, you know, to make things not good with us. And it's like, and normally whatever it is that I don't react to because I'm working this program, the next day I don't even remember. So it's really not that big of a deal. So this is just you know, so helpful. And when I do need to make an amends, I say I'm sorry, but it's not a remorseful mumbling, oh, sorry. You know, it's a sincere, I am sorry. And
really doing my best to change how I treat people, and coming from, you know, patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. Because when I do that, I have a good day, and I don't need to be right. I need to be happy, and I pass. Thank you, and happy Fourth, everybody.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Heidi G, you're up next, followed by Kat K. Heidi, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Heidi G, and I'm a recovering compulsive eater from Maine. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your service. What I'm hearing in this paragraph is reconstruction, daily reconstruction. And what rings true to me is that it's, you know, I just recently have started with OA and less than a year ago, and had the enlightenment, which was absolutely amazing, and then kind of felt like, okay, I made my amends and I cleaned my side of the street. Now I'm done. I'm recovered. And what I've found is that if I don't do the daily reconstruction, it creeps up on you before you know it. And it's similar to the compulsive eating, where I would, you know, I would eat, I would compulsively eat, but then I would compulsively exercise and kind of put everything under the rug and say, well, that's fine now, or have some excuse for why I, you know, why I ate this or why I ate that or why I didn't eat something. And without the daily meditation and the pausing and the breathing in and the breathing out, those little things can, they do. They, absolutely, there's no ifs about it. They build up until you are no longer recovered. And what I have recently been able to do is continually, daily, breathe in and breathe out and just stop and check in with my higher power. And just notice what's out there and what harsh feelings I have. And that just happened the other day, and I realized that I needed to make an amend, and I hadn't realized. I mean, I thought I had made all my amends, and one day I was checking in with my higher power, and it was glaring. Obviously, I needed to make this amend, and I made the amends, and in doing so was triggered. And since that amends, what was spoken back to me has affected me. And if I don't daily check in with my higher power and figure out how to realize that it doesn't, there's no right or wrong. All I need to do is make the amends and realize that nobody's perfect, and I have done my part. And that's what's important. And now each day, if I pause, I can continue trying to do the next right thing. And I'm even able to pause in between my bites of food, which for me is huge. I've never been able to do that, and been able to, now I can enjoy my food and eating in my days. So thank you for allowing me to share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Heidi G. Kat K, you're next, and then I'll be taking a new grouping. And again, we're on page 83, the first paragraph, one paragraph only. Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. Please go ahead, Kat K.
Hi, Kat K, compulsive overeater. I wanted to share that for me, this portion, I mean, this is the part of the book when I first read, and I really balked. I really balked at the level of humility that I must come with in the ninth step. That is just so hard. I mentioned this because prior to ever getting exposure to the ninth step of this amazing program, I always thought of an apology as a manipulative way to manipulative and backhanded way to apologize that someone felt a certain way and never own up or take responsibility. Like, I would very often resort to phrasing like, I'm sorry you feel that way, and put ownership of their feelings that I didn't frankly agree with, of course I didn't agree with, on them and never on me. So for me, when I read that a simple apology is not enough, I really, to me, it was like handicapping my largest, you know, mind game of manipulation and I had no humility. I had an ego, and it was and I still have some of that, but it's extremely hard to, from my heart, voice the depth of how I've wronged you. And using an entirely different phrasing for me was essential. I've wronged you. How else have I wronged you? So working on that for me was a huge essential part of my recovery. And frankly, it requires a lot of vulnerability, and it's very difficult to this day, and requires me to do a lot of praying. And now I'm sorry comes to mean something a little more to what it's actually supposed to be about. So I just wanted to share that, because this step is very hard to do, to right our wrongs of the past, and that it's no easy task. But one that's absolutely necessary. Thank you for letting me share.
Hello? Anyone there?
Gina, are you still with us?
Sorry about that. I was muted. We are now ready to take a new lineup. Please go ahead.
Ginger L in Arizona.
Oh, I heard a mishmash. Let's try again.
Ginger C. L in Arizona.
Okay, Ginger C and somebody in Arizona.
Nancy L in Arizona.
Nancy L, okay.
Lindsay B, New Hampshire.
Gotcha, Lindsay.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB.
Faith M.
Faith M.
Mo H.
Mo H. And one more. We'll try one more. Anyone after Mo H?
Reggie.
All right, well, let's see. Reggie O. Okay.
Hi, this is Jenny H.
Jenny H. Okay, I don't know if we'll be able to get to everybody, but we'll see how this flows. So we've got Ginger C, Nancy L, Lindsay B, Sherry KB, Faith M, Mo H, Reggie O, and Jen H. Please go ahead, Ginger.
Oh, thanks so much, Gina, and thanks for your service. Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And so this day, this happy 4th of July day, was probably the most painful beginning with my food addiction, because it was 3 years ago today that I was in the same store with my mother after not seeing her in almost 20 years. So God works in mysterious and miraculous ways, but this experience brought me to my knees and put me into the food where I know Bill's story. I thank God the bites only were for 3 months, because the pain and the desperation were unbelievable, and I never knew food could get that bad. But thank God, too, for every beautiful bite and every experience, because that's where I finally conceded to this disease that without help, I'm screwed. And it finally caught my attention. I was finally more afraid of my sugar addiction than I was the alcohol. So I love this simple short sentence. We must take the lead. How free do you want to be? I have to take responsibility. Follow it precisely, guess what? You're going to have these 9-step and then these 10-step promises right behind them. But you must do the work. Like Harlan says, it's not for people who want it or need it. It's for those who are doing it. And that amends to my mother, it was like back on page 77.
It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. And to have my heart shifted towards her, where I get to think of her uppermost happiness, and I get to practice now this patience, this tolerance, this kindliness, and love. Unbelievable. I've hated her my entire life. No mother leaves a child, and she left her baby. And that's not my story today. I'm no longer tethered to the lies, because that's what addiction is all about. It's these lies that I can't differentiate, the false from the truth. And it's by digging in, pressing in, going to these painful places, that's the touchstone to spiritual growth, and that's the transformation. That's God doing for you, again, what you don't do. And then you get to see this whole new experience evolve. Because I was just in Chicago, and I was on the phone the entire time with my mom, laughing, talking about these experiences that I did have with her, the joy. So I hope today's pain is enough pain, and I hope it's motivating you to stay into this work, because your life depends on it. If you're an addict, you've only got two doors, and I hope you choose the door of faith. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Nancy L., you're up next, followed by Lindsay B. Please go ahead, Nancy.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Welcome, newcomers. I'm Nancy L. from Arizona. Yes, that one sentence. We ought to sit down with a family and frankly analyze the past. What family? By the time I got in recovery, most of my family was gone. You know, my husband was still with me, but very non-communicative. My son moved out when he was 17 and a half. My daughter moved out when she was 17 and a half. And there really wasn't anyone for me to sit down with except for myself and God. And so fast forward several, or probably about a decade later, when I had gotten control, thank God, with the food and dropped quite a significant bit of weight. When I did see my children, which wasn't very often, and they're now young adults, they could see with their eyes that mom was no longer a huge loudmouth. But I don't think they knew there was any other difference in me, and there was a profound difference. And I'm getting better every day. And so they just started to look around, and they could see mother wasn't ranting and raging anymore, and that she was being very kind in a genuine way, not a fake way like before. When I wanted my own way, I could be very, very sweet. They could see mom not just being present and not having to, you know, have her mouth going all the time. Same with my husband. You know, talk about a living amends. I think he noticed a lot of good changes in me. And as a result, all three of them have started to warm up a bit. I can't regret the past. All I can do is just keep pressing forward, looking for ways to be kind, considerate, and patient. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy L. Lindsay B., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Lindsay.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, it's Lindsay from New Hampshire. Grateful to be on the road to recovery. Powerful. I'm thinking about all the times that, I had difficulty with the idea of religion of any kind and God, because I had in my head that anybody that had a higher power or God was basically just doing what they wanted and going to church on Sunday, I'm saying I'm sorry, and then going back and doing this, you know, the same thing. So I just thought of any sort of higher power, God, I associated it with hypocrisy. And I realized that that's what I was doing with my what I thought was making amends. I was making amends way before I should have been, and I couldn't understand why people would say, well, wait until you get to step 9, because I thought, well, there's nothing wrong with saying sorry now. And that's what I always did. I just wanted to, I felt awful, but did I really feel awful, or did I just didn't like not being liked? I'm such a people pleaser. So it was almost like, well, I can practice gossip today for a minute, as long as I make an amend, as long as I go back and say I'm sorry or living amends. It was always like wanting my cake and you know, when things get really, really, really rough, or you know, I'll pick up the food and then get back to it. Well, this disease is so progressive, you know, I can't do that anymore. And I'm not going out there and making my amends, because I've gone back to the beginning and I'm loving, thank goodness, for the lay aside prayer. I am using that prayer in so many things. Let me lay aside everything I think I know about being a, you know, a healthy parent. Let me lay aside everything I think about, you know, what my body size should be, what my dog needs, whether I should, you know, be in this relationship, because I'm so addicted to having all the answers. And today I had just had an amazing day, started off the day going to a meeting, and was reminded yet again that when I get out of my way, my days flow in a way that I could never imagine. And how I make amends to my mother, who's no longer with us, is I might spend 10 minutes with a person that is non-communicative, that maybe had a stroke, and I'll look into their eyes and I'll sing them a song. I can't do that for my mother anymore. And plus, she was living 3,000 miles across the ocean, so even after being in recovery for a while, I couldn't do that. And so I'm finding other ways. And yesterday, my dad passed away recently, and yesterday was my birthday. And birthdays were always so loaded, because I never really loved myself, and I didn't think that I deserved anything, and yet I wanted everyone to read my mind, and it didn't matter what happened on my birthday, it was never enough. So because of the program, I don't have expectations anymore. And yesterday, I suddenly felt this need to connect with my dad, and the only way I could connect with my dad was I hated him for years, was through soccer. So yesterday I watched the England versus Colombia game, and Dad was with me, and it was just amazing. And with that, I passed. And England won. And I wish that they both won, actually. But England did win. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lindsay B. And through the miracle of technology, Sherry KB is going to yield her time so that we have room for other people to share. Thank you for texting me, Sherry. So Faith M., you're actually next, followed by Mo H. Faith, please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, good morning. This is Faith M. in Northern California. Very grateful to recovered compulsive reader. This paragraph is so interesting. I, you know, didn't want to take the lead. You know, it just was like, you know, it's funny because the way that I, wasn't married when I first came into program, didn't have kids, and, still don't now, but I'm just saying that I was so much younger. It's like the idea of taking the lead just was so not in my thought process. It was always overboard. So, well, let's take the lead and see how we can, you know, make friends through being apologetic, or, you know, kind of like, you know, relinquishing my self-esteem because I wanted friends, or, you know, just ways that it was not totally clean, you know. And one of the things that this program really taught me about was, Where was I really in relation to other people and myself? And, it was always, not always, but it was more of me taking time to learn about myself over many, many years in this program. And having taken this step many times, really learning more about when are the times when I can take the lead in my amends, in amending my behavior. And, you know, of course, it started with making the amends. And when I did that, a couple of amends that I had to make were really, really hard. Of course, to my family, you know, at the time, like one of my first amends was really scary to my mother. And my little brother had been in and out of juvenile detention. And I was furious. I was just, you know, I was living in L.A. They were up here in Northern California. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And I was acting out, and I had to actually make amends to my mother for blaming her. And, you know, all she said was, thank you. And I remember thinking, man, I am a little shit. Oh, my gosh. you know, because I actually thought I was really, really blameless. And so when I think about this paragraph, you know, in the times when I'm being, you know, the kind of the less than perfect customer, I always think of this way of, I hear this paragraph in my head, you know, I hear, am I being, you know, doesn't, you know, our job is to be patient, tolerant, kind, and loving. And, you know, it's taken many, many years for me to kind of like incorporate this paragraph into my life. And, you know, for right now, for the most part, I can be kind, I can be tolerant, I can be patient, I can be loving, you know, but I'm you know, obviously a human being that's got moods. But, you know, I find that I just used to bristle so much at we must take the lead. I didn't want to take the lead. Why do I have to do this stuff? All these other people get to act out. Thank you. And be kind of jerky if I have to be the one to take the lead. But you know what? It saves my butt every single time, you know. And I get to stay in the way, in this path, in a way of walking in dignity and grace, which is really my true reality and my true identity. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you so much, Faith M. Mo H., you are up next, followed by Reggie O. Please go ahead, Mo.
Yes, Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Northern California. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I grew up in a faith tradition where every Friday we would go to what we called confession and confess our sins and be given prayers that we needed to say after we finished. But never was I taught how to go to somebody when I harmed them. It was all about me and all about what I did wrong, and I just needed to be forgiven for it. It wasn't until I got into the and then when I got married, it was all about I wanted to be right. And I remember my husband and I in the early days of marriage would go through these gyrations, and he would apologize, and I would apologize. We'd both say, I'm sorry. But I never felt that was complete enough. And I heard said this morning that sorry ends in why. It never filled me. It's like sorry, and then I go back and do the behavior again until I got into the program. And I started to see that what it says here, but chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. That I had to take responsibility for my actions in the whatever was going on, the disturbance. And I have to look at my part. And sometimes that's really hard for me because I don't want to look at my part. I want to see his part or somebody else's part. And as I heard someone say on the phone, you know, he's my greatest teacher. And sometimes I say thank you to him because I get to see my character defects and what I need to clean up. And I love the part about making amends and the part that says, and this is how I want to change my behavior. This is what I want to do instead. And, you know, and what I want to do instead is be patient and tolerant and kind and loving toward all. And so I think I'll pass. That's it. I'll give other people an opportunity to share. Thank you for today and happy Fourth.
Thank you, Mo H. Reggie O., you're next, followed by Jen H. Please go ahead, Reggie.
Thanks, Gina, for your service. This is Reggie O. Again, gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And reading this paragraph this morning, that long period of reconstruction ahead reminded me of a line in the doctor's opinion that always gave me great hope. And it said that in nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. So I thought, when I read that in vision, I thought, well, yeah, I get to recreate my life. I get to recreate my life here. If I'm grounded in the ideals of this step and do, you know, the steps and do them. And then now here it's talking about this long period of reconstruction ahead. So it's like that's a part of the recreation of my life is this reconstruction, I believe, in relationships. And, you know, going back to the ideal piece, there's also that section in the sex inventory where it says we ask God to mold our ideals and to help us live up to them. So I find that, you know, is useful. In all relationships, whatever it is, and it's something that I actually really haven't gone back to spend the time on. But after listening to the shares this morning, that I really want to is like really spend some time in prayer and meditation and contemplation and seeing, you know, coming to see what my ideals are in all relationships in my life. I can relate to what so many people were saying, you know, it's like their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partially responsible. But it's, you know, it's me. I'm the only person that I can deal with. I'm not there to criticize or find fault or be right, even though being right used to be of great importance to me. But it's for me to recreate. I'm the only person. I can't think of the word I'm trying to say. I'm the only person in the equation of any relationship that I can do anything about, although the changes in who I am and my behavior actually do have an impact on other people and, you know, might impact some, you know, good things happening for them. But, you know, it's about me being close to my creator and having the courage to be in relationship rather than to avoid or to try to be right, but to actually allow myself to be positively in relationship, loving and patient and showing up. And you know, for me, not hiding out, not avoiding, and not trying to run the show, but to you know, but I need to lead this reconstruction effort by my own behaviors and actions. So really appreciate this this section. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Reggie O. Jen H., you are next. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Jenny H. Thanks for the meeting. Thanks for letting me share. I'm just getting back from a trip with my family and really working on this tolerance, pity, and patience. And this reading is helping me think more about what my part is and realizing that I have some work to do in that department. I'm recovering compulsive overeater. I'm coming up on 6 months and I still feel pretty new. And I've definitely had some moments of revelation with being able to let go of resentments that I've held against my mother in particular. And that moment of relief really came from prayer, like just stewing on something that she said about like justifying why she basically didn't give me healthy food. And she said it so matter of fact, and it hurt so much. And I just kept thinking, like, God, give me tolerance, pity, and patience. Give me tolerance, pity, and patience. And I did find it. I had that moment of, like, I'm so glad she was honest with me. Like, that's so helpful to know that that's part of where my thinking around food comes from. But there's still so much more in my family that I have not let go of. And this reading is helping me realize that, you know, it's not just what I need to let go of, but, like, think about what my part is. And I think that there is self-seeking for sure. And I can do a little bit of that, like, holier than thou. And I know I come off like that with them. And it just creates a chasm. So, feeling grateful for this program and its ability to point me in the direction of being a better human for all beings for the sake of others. I have a lot of work to do. I'm glad I have fellows to do it with. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jenny H. So we've got about 1 minute left. Would anybody like to take that? Going once, going twice.
Reed L.
Okay, please go
Hi,
ahead.
Hi, this is Doug.
I got Doug. Reed L. Oh, I heard Reed L. Doug, you're going to have to come in tomorrow. Thanks for trying, though.
No problem.
Go ahead, Reed L.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. I've got you for
okay.
1 minute. I'll time you.
From Montreal, and I'm listening so closely to these pages because I feel for me, my recovery, when I pray every morning and I sit in my meditation, I ask God, God, change me. Help me to be more loving. The opposite of my insanity and the obsession with the food for me in today and in recovery is love. That's the opposite. Every answer for me is love. And I pray to God to be loving, patient, kind, and tolerant because love constitutes that. And love is God. God is love. And every way that I'm emulating God translates into love for me. And if it's not love, then it's not recovery for me. I think my time is up. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Most excellent. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for sharing today. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Stephanie L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.